Well, hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the Stuff We Like podcast. My name is David Simmons, and over the next little while, we'll be talking about stuff we like. Now, the podcast will be quite eclectic over the coming weeks and months, and that's because we're going to start with food and drink this week, and then we'll come back to that theme several times in the next few months. But along with that, the Stuff We Like podcast will also be covering things like new technology and entertainment and, well, to be honest, anything else which appeals to us. And when I say us, I don't just mean me, I mean you as well. And I'll be explaining how you can contribute too. Now, these things that we like, well, they may be something that I talk about, or it may be that one of the podcast guests contributes something which is special to them. Alternatively, it may be that you want to contribute something. And now there are many ways you can do this. You can either do this through my blog, which is stuffwelike.wordpress.com, and note the we in the middle is actually the French we, which means yes. It's a little quirky, but there you go. Or you can contact me on Twitter. My username is @DavidSimmons, and then we can talk from there. If you want to note something on the podcast, you can either do so in writing, and if it seems good to do so, let me know how I can contact you, and then we can interview you over Skype, or I can talk about it, read out whatever you recommend. So because we're quite wide-ranging, you may want to dip into particular episodes which suit you, or which appeal to you. Equally, you might think you want to listen to each episode in turn, and that's cool too. There are no rules to this. We're just getting up and running. One thing I do have to say, however, is that none of the enthusiasm I may show for any of the products that I talk about is in any way sponsored by any commercial organization. It's just my own passion for certain things coming through, and the same can be said for my contributors as well. This podcast is about things we find enjoyable or pleasing in any way. Part of 21st century society, frankly, is the ability to have a good rant about anything on any medium, especially now the internet has broadened communication so much. There is a place for that, but this podcast is really about stuff we like. So forgive us if we stick just to that. It means, however, that you may discover new things or try new experiences that we recommend that you may not have thought of before. So let's find out. Okay, let me start by talking about coffee. Now, coffee's a universal drink. Lots of us like to drink it. And when I look for coffee, I look for all sorts of things, particularly rich flavours. I particularly like the nutty, chocolatey flavours that come in a Colombian roast, for instance. But recently I had a bit of a cholesterol scare, and so I've been watching my milk intake. Now, I've been drinking more semi-skimmed milk and have cut out milk in my coffee for the most part. But one of my favourite drinks is the Americano, and if we're talking about chain cafes, then for me, the best one is the Caffè Nero Americano. However, one of my regular indulgences is the Costa Flat White from the Costa chain of cafes in the UK. And what I tend to order is the skinny flat white, but having it skinny seems to make little difference to the overall texture and flavour of the coffee. It really is quite creamy and exceptional. It's slightly more expensive than the average coffee there, and there is only one size available. It's often prepared by the senior baristas because they seem to have to know how to envelop the milk and coffee together in a special way, and it really always tastes fantastic. Another place I can recommend is a place called the Brass Mongoose in Blackfriars in London. Strange name, but very nice place. I went on a course in Blackfriars a few months ago, and at the Brass Mongoose they do a fantastic café con leche, a Spanish latte, if you will. And again, they enfold the milk in a coffee in such a way as to give it a really nice zing. It's not more coffee than anything or more milk than anything, it's a nice blend of both. I've also recently bought a book called The London Coffee Guide by Geoffrey Young and Sally Connor, which is published by Allegra Publications. And they have a long list of independent and chain coffee establishments in there where you can get a special coffee. And that's the London Coffee Guide. So I shall hopefully be trying out some of those places later on and I can contribute what I find, what I discover in this podcast. Okay, so straight into my first interview with Mr. Nick Burr. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Dave.
Very briefly, tell us about yourself and about the new blog.
Well, I'm living here in Dagenham, in Essex. I've been married to my wife, Kathy, for about 20 years.
Okay.
And we've got four children, most of whom are teenagers. I work for one of the big four accounting and consulting firms, where my role is to really shape and prepare data for analytical modelling.
Okay. So what sort of background do you have in IT generally?
I've worked in the IT industry for about 20 years.
Mm.
I've done a fair mixture of things. I've worked both in the charity sector and the education sector, handling data.
Okay, so tell us about your blog then, and what drove you to write this blog?
I've been interested in food for quite a while, as if you see me, you probably testify to. Really, over the last 2 to 3 years, been looking for ways at reducing our food budget.
Right.
Staying healthy in the process.
Mm-hmm.
But also being more sustainable in the way that we choose what we eat and drink.
What do you mean by sustainable?
Well, give you an example. I'm not particularly proud of the fact that demand for meat is outstripping the Earth's ability to supply.
Okay.
For example, it takes about 4 to 5 kilos of grain to produce every kilo of beef. So that's a lot of stuff that's being grown just to feed an animal, which then feeds us.
Right.
And it's reasonably possible to support about 22 vegans on the same plot of land that it would conceivably take to support a single meat eater.
Hmm.
That's quite a big ratio.
Okay, so have you gone veggie?
We're not completely veggie. We decided really to cut down the amount of meat in our diets.
Right.
So it's really a choice thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're so, not going to turn up at your house and refuse a shepherd's pie or something like that.
So, I mean, what's intrigued me about your blog in particular, two things. First of all, it's quite niche. But secondly, it's very timely, and I'll explain why I mean that. It's actually thriftyveg.wordpress.com.
Mm.
And one of the sentences you say in your introduction is, cheap food is often based on low-quality ingredients, heavily processed to disguise its origins.
Yeah.
Now, that speaks for itself. We're just, in case you're listening to this podcast late than February 2013, we're actually in the middle of a big scandal where horse meat has been found in beef products in the UK. And the thing about that is not just that it's horse meat, which is shocking enough for some people, but the fact that we have no idea what's going into our beef products.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And that's a big concern.
Yeah.
And I think, one of the drivers for sharing this, really, and why I decided just to take it from something we were pursuing ourselves to blogging about it, really it's hoping to share some of the things that we've learned in being able to eat a healthy diet that doesn't cost the Earth.
Right.
And is quite possible using, you know, vegetables and store-covered ingredients.
So let's ask another question then. Given that it's a live blog and you're sort of updating it on a regular basis, what sort of updates do you put on there? And can you share a recipe with us?
Of course. Well, I think the blend of content that we look to have on there is going to be a mixture of recipes, because that, I think, is one of the things which I find really helpful, is to go and look at what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a mixture of the recipes we found, plus some links to good stuff that other people are doing. I think perhaps focusing on some of the ingredients that we use, things that people might not necessarily know what to do with. So, you know, chickpeas, for example, is going to feature in a post in maybe a week or two's time.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, you know, they're an ingredient that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily know, looking at the tin, what you might do with them or how you might make best use of them.
Right.
Yet there are lots of things that you can do.
So give us a recipe then.
So the recipe that I'm going to suggest is actually the humble jacket potato.
Oh, brilliant.
And I'm picking that really because it's something which is quick and easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to find.
Right.
You don't have to go to a kind of a specialist shop to find
it. No, that's true.
And it's incredibly versatile.
Mm.
The thing is that actually potatoes are incredibly nutritious. They're very high in vitamin C.
Mm.
Really, jacket potato, I mean, you can cook them in an oven, in which case they take, 45 minutes to an hour on a medium to hot oven. You obviously get a nice crispy skin and the good sugars in the sort of body of the potato really get a chance to kind of come out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a hurry, you can do them in a microwave, but you need to make sure that you prick the outside first. Otherwise, you end up with a mini explosion.
Right, yeah. The classic microwave explosion.
Yes.
Hmm.
But then the filling, then you can pretty much put what you like in it. I mean, from my standpoint, obviously trying to eat vegetarian, then I'm going to look for something that's perhaps, you know, cheese and mayonnaise is great.
Mm-hmm.
Put some beans inside it. Baked beans in a jacket potato work well, particularly if you add a bit of Tabasco or other chili sauce in there just to spice it up a bit.
Hmm.
Some people will say, well, actually, you can scoop the inside out, mix it with cheese and cream and all that kind of stuff, and then pop it back in.
Put it back in, sure.
In the oven for another 15, 20 minutes, and you've got a really quite interesting meal.
And, of course, the skin itself has a lot of nutritional value as well.
Absolutely. You've got fiber in there and a lot of goodness. So I think it's an example of something which is so simple.
That's superb, yeah.
Yeah, so nutritious and so beneficial to us.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Nick. I'll draw this interview to a close, but thank you for sharing those things with us. And just to remind everyone, it's thriftyveg.wordpress.com and it's Nick Burr's blog. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Dave.
A few years ago, my family and I were walking along the Strand in London, well, late one night, and we happened to stumble into a Leon restaurant. We'd not been in one before, and we were immediately struck by the friendliness of the staff. We were welcomed in. It was late, and so we didn't have a meal. We didn't need one. But we did have a coffee. And one thing struck my wife in particular, and that was the book that she found displayed everywhere. And it was the Leon recipe book, their first one, as it turns out. We picked one up, and we thumbed through it, and it was really witty and entertaining, full of interesting, original and clever recipes and crazy photos. And so we bought one right away. Now, Leon restaurants surf against the tide. People expect fast food to be tasty and quick, but fairly full of carbohydrates and not particularly good for you. I'll mention no names. But Leon set themselves up to create fast food that is good for you. Their menus differ if it's breakfast, lunch or dinner time. So their vision is to create fast food that's fresh, low in GI, which causes less drowsiness afterward. And they use fruit sugars predominantly when they do. And as they say on their website, we believe you can have your cake and eat it. As some of the examples of their food might be their poached egg pots or their magic porridge pots at breakfast. They actually have something called Porridge of the Gods, which might be worth trying out. And they put blueberries and Montezuma chocolates and stuff into that. Or you can have just ordinary porridge if you want. Their lunch menus, you can have things like chicken and chorizo or Scottish salmon on wild rice. You can have a selection of salads and wraps and stuff. And their dinner menus, you can have Moroccan curries, Catalan stews. So they're really interesting, unusual recipes. And they also do a lot of stuff for children and snacks and cakes and healthy snacks and so on. And their drinks are particularly good too. Their smoothies and their steepers or my particular favourite, their lemon, lime and ginger quencher. And the shops are becoming very popular. They seem to be popping up all over the place and are well worth a visit. And of course, you can take it home with you as their imaginative and colourful recipe books are also available pretty much everywhere too. So check them out. Okay, straight into interview number two. I have it with me in the studio, Mr. Anthony McKernan, an old friend of mine, who's going to talk to us about particular recipe books that he's brought with him. But first of all, Anthony, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, my accent gives me away as somebody from a northern mill town, Bury, in fact. You know where black puddings originate from. I'm very proud of my heritage, though it's actually 22 years now since I left home to come to this part of East London, where I found a whole new family and friendship circles and enjoyed working and living in this part of the world.
Wow. So what do you do for a living? What job do you have at the moment?
I'm a fundraiser
right.
for a charity called Five Talents.
Okay.
We're a microfinance charity. We specialise in working with some very rural, marginalised and post-conflict communities of the world. We don't just provide business loans, but we do village saving schemes and business training as well. To give you an idea, you could come with us, say, to the rural part of Tanzania, where we are looking, working with women whose average business loan is just £56.
Gosh.
It's an excellent development tool because it helps give people a hand up rather than a hand out, and they can make their own choices about how to grow their family and what to spend their money on.
So it's fostering entrepreneurial spirit in a otherwise impoverished society, you would think.
Certainly. And we're providing these financial services, which they just don't have access to.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about the recipe books you've brought with you. Two particular ones. Tell us about them.
Well, the Ainsley Harriott's Meals in Minutes recipe books really are a family favourite. You know, I'm looking for three things when I'm choosing food and recipes. First thing I'm looking for is something that's going to be popular with three children.
You know,
they're growing up now, but you know how fussy children can be. So you want to serve up food they're going to eat.
Right.
All of us are going to eat. Secondly, you want something that's going to be tasty, because, you know, the thing about children's food is it can often be quite bland and a bit boring for the parents. So, tasty food. And the third thing I want is it's got to be economic and not a faff. You know, we don't want saffron leaves in it and lime leaves and other fancy things that cost a lot and...
They have their place, but not in everyday cooking.
No. But these two recipe books that Ainsley Harriott has produced are packed with recipes. And I would say that as a family, we probably have 70% of our meals come from these two recipe books.
Right. OK. So very much a staple of your family diet. Do you have any particular recipes you want to share with us?
Well, clearly there's a lot to choose from. But this really stood out. This is his Calypso Pepper Pot Chicken with plantain. Plantain's perhaps not something we eat very often.
Yeah.
But you just have to fry this in a little bit of butter.
Mm.
And immediately it becomes... What's great about this is that you basically marinate the chicken in a hot pepper sauce.
Okay.
That gives it a bit of a kick.
How old is your youngest?
He's seven now.
Okay, and he can cope with that?
Yeah, he can.
Fantastic.
Actually.
Yeah, that's great.
He's not too bad. We got this peppered chicken, which gets grilled. But the really nice bit is a coconut cream.
Oh.
And what you're cooking the coconut cream with mango.
Mango, right.
So chop your mango and cook that in the sauce. The coconut sauce, and it's a beautiful dish.
Fantastic.
Very, very easy to make.
And these are meals in minutes, so they're literally things you can cook pretty much within minutes.
Definitely.
And you mentioned earlier on, before we started recording, that you do most of the cooking in your household.
Yes. Yeah, so different times and seasons, and these days we're in a season where my wife works quite late.
Right.
But she will prepare the initial meal in the morning before she goes to work at lunchtime. I'm responsible for cooking and serving up the family meal each evening.
So you're responsible for making it happen?
Yeah.
Wow. And what kind of a cook is Claire?
Well, she's a great cook.
Oh, okay. So it's quite a thing to aspire to, isn't it?
Yeah, but what's great about this arrangement is that, the boring bits of... chopping, peeling, cutting, marinating. She does all that in the morning. So I get the glory
of serving up the dish.
Having the frying pans on the go and making a mess and a racket and just bringing it all together.
Right, okay. And are your kids good at washing up?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, we have a rota, we have a chore board.
Okay.
Which is supposed to solve the disputes, but of course this chore board itself becomes then a source of dispute because you weren't here yesterday to do your chore.
I can imagine. Okay, so Ainsley Harriott's Meals and Minutes, you've got two books here. They have offer all sorts of delightful recipes. I have to admit that I myself have cooked quite a few meals from these with my sons as well, so they really are excellent value. Tell us finally, Anthony, about your own blog.
Well, one of the things that I've always been quite good at is pricey, to succinctly summarise something. And I seem to have developed a knack over the years of being able to do it verbally, not just in writing, but verbally, stand up on the spot and summarise a meeting or a debate or something like that. And therefore, I experimented with video blogging last year, did it for about 6 or 8 months, and really enjoyed it. I didn't lose steam, didn't lose energy, and I was challenged to make it a weekly video blog.
Wow.
So now every Saturday morning, there's a fresh video blog goes out, and I've got a subscription list as well so that I can build a following of people who are interested in the same things.
Okay, so it's basically a 2-minute précis of some key thing that you're thinking about that week.
Yes, and I've had to try and make it focused around a theme. Mm-hmm. The theme is, it's not what you think. This is a thought-shifting video blog designed to turn common thinking on its head, to draw on research and new understanding, to basically stop us getting trapped in old mindsets.
Right, so it's provocative, it's entertaining, interesting. Okay, where can we find it?
You could find it at anthonymckernan.com.
Okay.
Thought-shifting video blog in 120 seconds.
Fantastic. anthonymckernan.com, that's brilliant. Thank you, Anthony. It's been a joy having you here.
Thank you.
Okay, so I've got some comments and responses to my questions about food that people recommend. One in from Kim Raw, who recommends the Hampstead Creperie, a small stall that sells beautiful crepes on the corner of Hampstead High Street and Perrins Lane, and I think that's by the King William IV pub. It's particularly good in the spring and summer when the weather's good, which it isn't often in the spring and summer in the UK, it has to be said, but sometimes you get a sunny day. When you're there at the Hampstead Creperie, you can get savoury crepes such as ham and cheese or Belgian chocolate and banana. So check them out if you fancy a quick bite of something delicious as you walk through the beautiful streets of Hampstead. Andy Barons talks about his memories of visiting Australia in 2003, especially mentioning the Rocks Cafe off Circular Quay in Sydney. Now that certainly does look astonishingly good. I've checked out their website. I can't vouch for it myself because I've not been. But it comes highly recommended and it's well worth a visit if you're based in that part of the world. Andy says, my wife and I have incredibly fond memories of the Rocks Cafe off Circular Quay in Sydney. We were there for a week in October 2003. We'd eat barramundi and drink Penfold's wine. I'd have that week again. Back in a beat. Chris McLeod asked for a special mention of his favourite cafe, Mr. Doolar's in Dagenham. That's certainly got a great name. And when it comes to recipes, Elspeth Paisley mentions one of her all-time favourites, which is a red prawn and mango curry, a Nigella Lawson recipe. So basically it has spring onion, red Thai curry paste, fish sauce, butternut squash or sweet potato, half a can of coconut milk plus stock, all simmered together for about 15 minutes. Add prawns, mango and lime juice and cook for a few minutes until the prawns are done. Top it with coriander, serve with rice and beer, and voila, happy, smiley people. Wow. Well, I'm certainly looking forward to checking out some of those recommendations. If you have any favourite restaurants or cafes or recipes, be sure to get in touch with my blog post, Stuff We Like, at wordpress.com. We won't always be talking about food and drink, but it will be one of our recurrent themes, so keep checking the podcast back. Okay, well, that just about brings us to the end of this first episode of the Stuff We Like podcast. But before we go, let me just leave you with two more things, some free, quick and easy recipes. Firstly, if you want to add a winter warmer to your everyday pot of tea, just add 3 cloves and a small stick of cinnamon bark to the teapot alongside your normal tea bags. And what this does is makes a lovely spicy addition to your teapot, and it tastes really great in winter. Secondly, another drink you can make quite simply is a delicious spiced chai latte. All you have to do is make 1/2 mug of tea and add a teaspoon of cinnamon, a teaspoon of allspice, a teaspoon of ground ginger, and a dash of vanilla essence to 1/2 mug of milk. Microwave it and then whisk it with one of those small electric frothers, you know, the sort you can get for making cheap cappuccinos. You might want to add a bit of sugar or honey in as well, just to sweeten it up a bit. And you can change the proportions to your taste. Mix it all together, microwave it until it's steaming hot, and then froth it up some more, and then mix it in with the tea. And you can change the taste by altering the proportions, as I say. So there you go, another recipe for free. And I'll put that on the Stuff We Like blog as well. And that's it. Don't forget, if you want to contribute to the blog or podcast, it's the Stuff We Like WordPress blog. Stuff We Like, the we spelt O-U-I, as in French for yes. Or you can tweet me. My username is @DavidSimmons. That's S-I-M-M-O-N-S. All one word. And tell me what you want to say. And I can either say it for you, or you can arrange to Skype and call me. It can be about food and drink, because we'll have more food and drink episodes as we go along. Or it can be about anything else you want to talk about. I can't guarantee I'll include it, but send it to me in any case. Okay, my name is David Simmons, and thank you very much for listening to Stuff We Like.